Hello, everyone out there. This is Trevor with Tea Time Reports. Thank you so much for tuning back in to another episode of the podcast. It is greatly appreciated, especially if you are a springtime football fan or especially the UFL. It's the big thing right now, obviously. We have a lot to talk about, kind of continuing on last episode. More transactions, more league news, more big stuff coming out of the UFL's camp and overall all the teams and, you know, player transactions, league news, more rule changes. Different stuff coming out that you kind of just want to keep track of and definitely know before the season starts. And we are less than 50 days away now, which is just absolutely exciting. I cannot wait to watch some football that isn't possibly cooked. So, you know, we'll see how this turns out. But I'm so excited. But if you're new to the channel, new to the podcast, make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, give us a follow, give us a rating. It's greatly appreciated depending on where you're checking us out on, Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcasts, or YouTube, all at Tea Time Reports. Make sure you guys give us a thumbs up and all that good stuff. It's greatly appreciated. We're also on social media every single day, reposting, posting, interacting the best we can on Instagram, X, TikTok, and Threads as well. Not as much, but you know, at Tea Time Reports on all those if you want to join the community. But diving into some of the big signings and more recent transactions following the UFL, we have the Memphis Showboats are signing running back Denarik Prince, which is a big signing. He's actually a Super Bowl winning running back. Prince played the majority of his college ball at Tulsa, where he racked up 1,728 yards, 14 touchdowns, and he had some stints with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. Another very, very good pickup for the Memphis Showboats, especially in that backfield. It's going to be very, very interesting to see this new revamped Showboats offense and even defense as well. They are, in my opinion, as of right now today, which is February 12th at 9:37 p.m., they are the most turned around and most fresh-looking team going into the season. I'm not saying they're the best. I'm just saying that they've made a complete 180 compared to the D.C. Defenders, compared to some of the other teams who are already good, like the Battlehawks, and are just getting better. But, you know, they, as a very, in polite terms, a poverty team last year, look a lot more competitive right now than any other team in terms of that turnaround offseason. The DC Defenders have signed offensive guard Gunnar Britton. Britton played his college ball at Western Kentucky and Auburn, serving as a full-time starter his last two seasons, had a recent NFL stint with the Buffalo Bills. So that's a pretty big signing for the DC Defenders, getting a guy in the trenches that has NFL experience to protect Jordan Te'amu. It is unlikely that wide receiver Darius Shepherd and wide receiver Marcel Aitman will be returning to the Battlehawks this season, per UFL analyst. So that is unfortunate to see those guys not return. I hope they, you know, don't retire. Obviously, they have a lot of ball in them left, and you know, a lot of ball left in them, in my opinion. I hope they get, you know, signed to a different team, because the Battlehawks have brought on a lot of new wide receivers, so it makes sense. The Memphis Showboats have acquired offensive tackle Noah Henderson. Henderson spent this past UFL season with the Arlington Renegades, making five starts. Former ECU standout finds a new home with the Memphis Showboats, bringing in another big addition, a guy that's played in the UFL last year, got starts, who's going to come in and provide depth or at least competition for that offensive line room in training camp. The St. Louis Battlehawks have announced their coaching staff for the 2025 UFL season. Obviously, a lot is going to stay the same, but except Bruce Gradkowski did take a job with the Detroit Lions. Head coach Anthony Becht is still their head coach. Defensive coordinator Donnie Abraham, running back and special teams coordinator Kyle Kasky, wide receiver coach Phil McGugan, offensive line coach Mark Colombo, defensive lineman coach Leroy Glover, linebacker coach Chris Claiborne, defensive back coach Martin Bayless, and GM Dave Bowler. That it's pretty awesome to see pretty much nearly all their staff return. The Memphis Showboats have announced their 2025 coaching staff as well, with an entirely new, you know, coaching staff going into this new season. Head coach Ken Wisenhunt, defensive coordinator and legend of springtime football, who put out the best springtime football defense of all time in the 2023 Pittsburgh Maulers defense with Reuben Foster, Okeaba Tezino, Bryce Tornadin, Eli Walker, so many guys. Jaron Horton, a guy that we, and a lot of people were calling for him to get a head coaching position, but it's good to see him back in the league. Running back coach Luke Ferdinand, tight end and wide receiver coach TJ Veneri, offensive lineman coach Jim Turner, defensive lineman coach Brian Baker, linebacker and special teams coach Mark Hull, offensive assistant, I guess, Lee Morris, and defensive assistant Steve Meyer. So I don't know if any of those guys were the coach or any of the coaches prior. The Houston Roughnecks coaching staff, the new addition is Tom Cable, who is going to be the run game coordinator, but the rest is literally the same. Head coach C.J. Johnson, quarterback coach Eric Price, defensive coordinator Chris Wilson, running back and special teams coordinator Garrett Shasher, defensive lineman coach Quan Drake, special teams and defensive back coach Brett Maxey, assistants Jordan Higgins and Zach Shaggy, and GM Will Lewis. The San Antonio Brahmas head coaching, their coaching staff, excuse me, retains the same coaching staff for 2025, which isn't a surprise after their, you know, championship run last year, even though they got annihilated. Wade Phillips, AJ Smith, Will Reed, Marvin Williams, Peyton Party, Andre Garode, Chris Ashouf, Derek Barry, Josh Jones, and Mark Lillibridge, which is awesome to see them retain that entire coaching staff. Michigan retains their entire staff as well from last season after going 7-3 and making the USFL Conference Championship game. Head coach Mike Nolan, quarterback coach and offensive coordinator Marcel Bellafueli. I'm pretty sure that's French as fuck. Defensive coordinator, defensive lineman coach Colin Bauer, running back coordinator Jordan Pavlison, wide receiver and special teams coordinator Jaron Fairman, tight end coach Gary Watkins, offensive lineman coach Tim Holt, linebacker coach Christian Runza, defensive back coach Brock Marion, and GM Steve Kazor. And then we have the Stallions' entire offensive staff will be returning. Skip Holt, a head coach and offensive as the offensive coordinator and QB coach. Phillip Montgomery, co-offensive coordinator and running back and tight end coach. Mike Jones as wide receiver coach, and Dave D as the offensive line coach. And then their defensive staff heading into 2025 is going to look a little different. Corey Chamblin is still back, who took over late in 2024 as DC, will return as the defensive coordinator in 2025 and coach the defensive backs as well. Darius Riley, who came into the Stallions in 2023 from UAB, will return for a third season and will coach linebackers. John Chavis, whom Chamblin replaced in 2024, will not return in 2025. Anthony Blevins, who joined the Stallions staff late in 2024, will also not return as well. The Arlington Renegades staff goes as Bob Stutes, head coach, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Chuck Long, run game coordinator and defensive line coach Jay Hayes, offensive line coach Jonathan Himbach, running back coach and tight end coach Reggie Davis, defensive back coach Marvin Sanders, linebacker coach Chris Woods, assistant Spencer Duncan, special teams coordinator is Scott Spurrier, and GM is Rick Mueller. And then a couple of solid, very solid pickups like I was talking about. Deneric Prince and obviously Henderson from Arlington, the Renegades, are two big pickups for them, kind of addressing a need for them. The DC Defenders have confirmed their coaching staff as well. Reggie Barlow is back. Fred Case, Greg Williams is also back. Shannon Harris, Andre Simmons, Cody Krill, Blake Williams, Deion Harris, Vernon Dean, and Vaughn Hutchins is the GM. UFL VP of Football Operations Daryl Johnston says the UFL will be going back to the XFL-style kickoff that the NFL has adopted this past season. If the NFL is going to embrace this kickoff, then it doesn't make sense for us to have our guys doing something they won't even be doing at the NFL level. Moose reiterated that he's still not a fan of the style of kickoff, but agrees it makes sense to use it if the NFL is going to a huge shakeup for 2025 for sure. I don't really like the kickoff, the XFL kickoff at all, but a lot of people apparently do. It's not like it's, I don't know, it just doesn't look clean to me. I don't know. But a really good addition, a little side note, Greg Williams back with the team for his third season for DC as defensive coordinator. I love to see him, you know, you can tell he's having fun out there. You know, he's making an impact and getting guys back to the NFL. You really do need coaches of his caliber in this league. The St. Louis Battlehawks will be stepping into the 2025 season with a new field turf that was installed during the offseason at America's Center in St. Louis, Missouri, which is awesome to see. The Michigan Panthers released quarterback E.J. Perry, and he was picked up immediately by the Memphis Showboats. They're signing him as their third quarterback on the roster. It's a massive shakeup for the UFL, honestly. E.J. Perry was a huge playmaker for Michigan the past 2 years. You know, totaling 785 passing yards, 7 total touchdowns in his tenure with the team. So it's going to be very interesting to see him compete with Quinton Dormandy and Troy Williams. But I love to see it. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I really do like what he brings to the table. The Houston Roughnecks will be welcomed back to a we'll have a new EW board that will cover more than 7,000 square feet in the West End Zone, which is the second largest in the Big 12 conference for college football. TDECU went through renovations last season, which forced the team to move to Rice Stadium. Now the team will be returning home to the stadium they were playing in 2023 at TDECU, and they will be playing there in 2025, so that's pretty cool. The Michigan Panthers have signed defensive end Ron Stone Jr. He played his college ball at Washington State, racking up an outstanding 202 tackles and 16 sacks. Yeah, if he had 2,000 tackles, that'd be fucking insane. Recently spent time with the Las Vegas Raiders. Another solid pickup for the Michigan Panthers, bringing a guy to the edge that's gonna definitely cause havoc. I mean, 5 forced fumbles in his extensive college career as well. I mean, he 31.5 TFLs as well. So this guy's going to be a playmaker all day. The Birmingham Stallions have released wide receiver Benjamin Victor. Victor had 146 yards and 1 touchdown with the Stallions this past UFL season. With a loaded wide receiver room, they appear to be going in a different direction. And, you know, Benjamin Victor will definitely probably get picked up by a team. If not the Showboats, maybe the Brahmas, maybe the Roughnecks as well. They could use some receivers. Nick Torres has signed with the Memphis Showboats. The 6'6 offensive lineman joins the Memphis Showboats after a stint in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, that's actually pretty crazy. Like, he also played at Villanova. Torres played his college ball with the Wildcats, starting 50 out of 53 games. Recently had a stint with the Chiefs. Played in preseason in the NFL, which is pretty good. Pretty awesome to see the Showboats still acquiring so many good players. Like, even prospects, like even guys that maybe not, they might not make the final cut, but they still have a lot of upside. The Arlington Renegades have signed wide receiver Devion Clayton. Clayton is a fascinating story, not playing a single down of college football, but instead was a track star. Clayton was in the XFL camp with the Vipers, the Vegas Vipers in 2023, and had signed a LOI with the Arlington pre-merger. So interesting to see him get signed and picked up a year after the merger, so pretty cool. But like I said, Bruce Gradkowski is being added to the Detroit Lions coaching staff per Adam Schefter. So it looks like the St. Louis Battlehawks are going to need to bring in a new offensive coordinator. And I think they did. I just got to find the tidbit. I know I have it somewhere here. I just got to go through all my screenshots. I have a bunch of shit that I need to talk about. So my camera roll is typically full of UFL stuff. So people probably think I'm crazy if they ever see my phone. The Stallions are hiring Ron Burton as their defensive line coach and Wes Smith as an assistant defensive back coach. Burton got into coaching after playing for multiple NFL teams. He has coached over 30 years at the college level, including stints at defensive line coach at Air Force and Michigan State. So the Stallions continue to bring in insane talent. I mean, 30 years of coaching is crazy. Smith returns to Birmingham after serving as a UAB linebacker coach from 2020 to 2021. Most recently, he was a defensive line coach at Albany State. Before that, he was a defensive back coach at Wake Forest. He also spent time at Appalachian State and UNC Charlotte. So another very seasoned coach that the Stallions are going to, you know, add into this. So very awesome to see that kind of professionalism as well, just being sought out after in coaching. So the Arlington Renegades have also re-signed defensive lineman Devontae Lambert. Lambert earned all XFL honors with the Renegades in 2023. This past season, he was more of a rotational piece, also missing some games with injury, finishing the year with 7 tackles, so looking to have a bounce-back year. The Birmingham Stallions are signing former Eagles cornerback Mario Goodrich. Goodrich earned all ACC honors at Clemson and spent 2022 and 2023 with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Stallions have also released safety TJ Carter. So bringing in a guy that played his college ball at Clemson, totaling 69 tackles and 5 interceptions, and he was an undrafted free agent to the Eagles, remaining there for 2 seasons. Very impressive pickup, but also losing TJ Carter really sucks. He was primarily a rotational piece this past season. Across 2 years in Birmingham, though, he posted 35 tackles and 1 interception, a guy I would like to see remain in the league, but, you know, it's hard to. The Brahmas offensive line coach and former NFL center Andre Garode has been hired by Colorado as their assistant offensive line coach under Deion Sanders. So, you know, these coaches are also getting picked up, man. They're getting realized, and people are like, oh, shit, I need to grab that guy. Like, he's a damn good coach. The Birmingham Stallions are also re-signing wide receiver Deion Kane. After stints in the NFL, Kane returns to the Stallions, where he was the 2023 USFL Championship MVP. He is a beast. I'm very excited to see him back in Birmingham. The Houston Roughnecks have signed quarterback Anthony Brown out of Oregon. The dual-threat quarterback finished the 2021 season with the Ducks, establishing a 10-4 record and became the team's breakout player. Now Brown is on his way to Houston to play in the UFL. Brown had an outstanding college career at Boston College and Oregon, throwing for 7,758 yards and 60 touchdowns, and he has had stints with the Baltimore Ravens and the Las Vegas Raiders in the NFL. It's a major offensive add for the Houston Roughnecks, honestly one of their best additions all offseason. The Arlington Renegades have re-signed wide receiver LeJuan Winningham. Winningham saw a smaller role this past UFL season, but was a major piece during the XFL championship run in 2023, including on special teams. He also made one of the best catches of spring football history against the Brahmas in 2023. The San Antonio Brahmas have signed former Seattle Sea Dragons wide receiver Juwan Green. Green was a part of the greatest offense in spring one of the greatest offenses in spring football history that included wide receivers Blake Jackson, Ja'Kir Pearson, and Josh Gordon. Green returns to spring football with the San Antonio Brahmas, which is awesome to see. And he does definitely provide that safety valve type of vibe. He was with the Seattle Sea Dragons in 2023, posted 420 yards and 6 touchdowns. He earned an NFL stint with the Kansas City Chiefs following his XFL campaign, a very solid pickup for the San Antonio Brahmas. The DC Defenders have signed linebacker Brandon Boyer-Randall. He had a lengthy college career, which included stops at Michigan State, Texas Tech, and UConn. 181 tackles, 6.5 sacks, had a stint with the Buccaneers in 2023, and now lands with the DC Defenders in the UFL, which is awesome to see. Quarterback Bryce Perkins has officially re-signed with the Michigan Panthers. There was still some speculation about that, but that is confirmed officially now. Huge retention for the Michigan Panthers. The Arlington Renegades are signing former Battlehawks safety Nico Bolden per James Larson. Bolden spent the 2024 season with the Battlehawks, where he appeared in 6 games, recorded 11 tackles, and was primarily used on special teams. The Arlington Renegades, like I said, are signing Nico Bolden. He's a former Kent State standout, had 236 tackles and 2 interceptions in his collegiate career, which is crazy. The Roughnecks quarterback Davis Richard has been placed on the retired list. The rookie out of North Carolina Central was signed back in July and was the 2024 HBCU Legacy Bowl MVP. Houston now have one open spot and will enter training camp with Anthony Brown and Nolan Henderson and Jalen McClendon at quarterback. So they are probably going to bring in a guy, but we'll obviously have to see. The Arlington Renegades have signed defensive tackle Davion Nixon. Nixon was a former fifth-round draft pick with the Carolina Panthers with 15 tackles and a half sack to his name in the NFL. He played his college ball at Iowa, totaling 75 tackles and 8.5 sacks. Now looks to join spring football. The San Antonio Brahmas, like I said, signed Juwan Green. The DC Defenders signed linebacker Brandon Bauer-Randall. Trying to see what other signings. Juwan Green is back to spring football. Yes, sir. Davis Richard retiring, though, was very, very odd to me. He is a two-time MEAC Offensive Player of the Year and an HBCU Legacy Bowl MVP. Personally, I did think he could bring life to the Roughnecks offense with his athleticism and overall just IQ of the game. But with the addition of Anthony Brown, he seems like he became the odd man out, and he probably just didn't want to compete. I hate to say it. I don't want to assume anything. The DC Defenders also did replace running back out of Virginia State, Trenton Cannon, on the retired list as well. The Arlington Renegades are signing former Panthers defensive back. Yep. Trying to find the other tidbits I have here. Another big thing here from a legend from the 2022 USFL season with the Pittsburgh Maulers. The New England Patriots have signed defensive tackle Jeremiah Farms to a 2-year extension. Farms, the former Pittsburgh Maulers standout, has been with the Patriots the last couple of years, primarily on the practice squad. This past season, though, Farms saw action in 16 games, posting 33 tackles and 2 sacks, made a big impact all year long, and now gets a deserved contract extension heading into 2025. Just one of the many success stories we've seen come out of spring football, and you got to love to see it. The Memphis Showboats now have one of the most interesting quarterback rooms heading into the 2025 UFL season. With E.J. Perry, Quentin Dormandy, and Troy Williams, they definitely, all those guys have a lot to prove in their kind of like second chance era. All kind of got forced out or just, you know, needed a new start somewhere, and it all happened to be Memphis. And It's going to be a very, very competitive quarterback room going into camp and obviously the season. Former USFL players DeAndre Johnson, John Franklin III, Tim Bonner, as well as Ronald Ali, Isaiah Wright, and Kerry Sidney Revis II are suing Netflix for $30 million per TMZ. They claim they received no compensation for their contributions to their TV series Last Chance U. The former football players allege they were pestered into signing basic contracts for the project, and also claim they were hit with ultimatums that they would be barred from practices and games if they did not put pen to paper. Furthermore, they state in the docs they weren't allowed to consult with attorneys before agreeing to anything, and were too they were not made aware of the proper market value of their name, image, and likeness. To make matters worse, a few of the plaintiffs also say they were wrongly portrayed in a villainous manner on the show, which Ali stated in the docs eventually affected his employment in the NFL. So that's definitely a big story coming out right now, in my personal opinion. We're also seeing former Michigan Panthers number one overall USFL draft pick Shea Patterson agrees to a one-year deal with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL. Thought that was pretty interesting. Another thing that might be also changing is it looks like all the coaches might get two super challenges. If you're successful with the first one, we'll give you one more. So that's a big thing as well. I think they were talking about that last year, but I think that would add a little bit of fairness to it as well. Like, if you get a call right, you should be able to get your super challenge flag picked up and put it back in your pocket, in my personal opinion. ESPN has announced their UFL commentators for the 2025 season as well. Team 1, Joe Testori, Jordan Rogers, Tom Luganbill, and Sam Acho. Team 2, Mark Jones, Roy Philpott, Rodney Jones, Cole Kublik, and Harry Douglas. Team 3, Lowell Galindo, Kirk Morrison, Eric Mack Lane, and Aaron Murray. So it's good to see some of the broadcast teams are getting announced. The Battlehawks make their strong receiving core, already consisting of the likes of Hakeem Butler, Jakir Pearson, and Denzel Mims, even stronger with the addition of the 2021 NFL sixth-round draft pick Frank Darby, per The Wire. Darby was a standout at the collegiate level with the Arizona State Sun Devils, compiling 1,317 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns on 67 career catches in 4 seasons, which is actually fucking insane. So that wide receiving room in St. Louis is absolutely bonkers and cooked and cracked. So they're going to be a nightmare for defensive backs, you know, especially with the lesser teams. Like, you know, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but in terms of quality of rosters, we see the upper echelon teams being the St. Louis Battlehawks, the San Antonio Brahmas in the XFL conference. And obviously with the signings the Arlington Renegades made, they're obviously being pushed right back into conversation as well. But, you know, on the USFL side of things, I think all 4 of the teams have gotten progressively better, considering one team has only lost 3 games in 3 years and has 3 championships in a row, looking for a 4th. I just think that, you know, we got to take a look at some of the quality of competition in terms of, you know, who has the rosters that can kind of match up well to each other. And just based on who's been attacking which areas of positioning and like areas of need for their offseason, I think the Stallions have done a great job watching everyone kind of go for offense. They went for the trenches on O-line, D-line, and, you know, especially defensive back as well. They're getting ready for those air raid big play offenses. And, you know, that's the way to do it, especially since they've had an offense that has been, you know, explosive for 3 years in a row now, looking to make it a 4th with Alex Magoo back in the fold, Deion Kane's back, CJ Marable, one of the most consistent running backs in spring football history, is back, obviously Ricky Pershing Jr. as well. And then obviously you look at the Memphis Showboats as well, bringing in guys like Quentin Dormady, who just played or was a part of a championship appearing team. I mean, you can't knock them down. And the Michigan Panthers as well, they have a great quarterback room. Danny Etling, Rocky Lombardi, and Bryce Perkins, with really good tight end and Cole Hikutini, and really good running backs and Matt Colburn and Wes Hills. I mean, that's another team that's just dangerous. And then obviously you can't forget about the DC Defenders with Jordan Te'amu, and they have really good defensive backs with DeAndre Baker, with some of those guys over there. But I just really think that it really comes down to who attacked the positions of need and the skill positions hard enough and got the signings and got the plethora of talent to make the decisions at camp and the decisions at cut time even more hard. When you have those difficult decisions, it shows you got a lot of really good ball players. And I really hope that soon they'll be able to expand roster sizes and, you know, talks of expansion for year three. You know, who knows? But there's a lot of things to look forward to, and we definitely have a lot of plans for our whole preseason coverage of the UFL going into the season as well. Hopefully some in-studio recording, so make sure you guys are checking us out on YouTube at Tea Time Reports. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Especially if you're a UFL fan, make sure you guys put a comment in the if you're listening in on YouTube. Who is your biggest offseason winner of the offseason going into the 2025 UFL season? Which team has done the most to impress you? Don't have your bias in it, because me personally, I think it's the Showboats or the Renegades. One of those two. They've done a lot of progressing. And same thing with Houston. They've made some good signings, but I just still think they're lacking at the quarterback position. But, and especially at the head coach spot too. I don't really like CJ Johnson. I don't think he's the best head coach for him, especially when they have guys like Kiki Chisholm and TJ Hall, I think his name is. They have really good receivers and really good playmakers, and they have Mark Thompson. They have good guys there. Like, they, at least they had Mark Thompson, but, you know, Merritt, I think his name is too. The guy, the kid that broke his arm in like week three last year and kind of derailed the whole season. But yeah, no, there's been a lot of turnaround, a lot of good roster updates, a lot of new talent, a lot of new players, a lot of new coaches, a new look to the league too. It's going to only get better from here, and I'm so excited for it. So again, thank you everyone, and you know, out there, whenever, however, wherever you're listening to this episode, it's greatly appreciated. Make sure you guys stay tuned in for more UFL content and coverage leading up to the season. We will also be covering every single week of the season, if not on the podcast, on YouTube. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, give us a rating, give us a comment on whatever platform you're listening to this on. It's greatly appreciated for all the support. I'm so excited for this upcoming UFL season, and I know everyone else out there is too. So again, thank you so much. Stay safe, stay awake. This is Trevor with Tea Time. Take care.